裏ドラマ三角。やっぱり take up where I left off yesterday、Ramasser says there must still be something to which I have not admitted, for suddenly there is another shadowy being with a head something like that of a lion, except that it has one hornthe body and limbs of a man, and I think a tail. It has me by the throat and is shaking me, whilst it also throttles me. I gag and gag, and my disciple is terrified that I'm about to die. The being demands that I tell the truth, the whole truth concerning a certain incident. I struggle to do so, and my disciple hears this also in the same spirit as that which he heard yesterday. He's spending days in this sangha.I think back, when I have finished gasping out what happened, I sink back, as it were, onto the floor, although I have actually not moved from the bed as this world understands movement. Only vague shadows appear in the, quote, mirror. All is now still. It is not enough for me to merely admit to what I have done to beings. Everything that can be set right must be set right.The only way I can go on is if I try to put right every wrong act that I have ever committed, tear into my past and drag it naked and trembling into the light. I cleanse my karma of body, mouth, and will with the tears of repentance and actual reparation for that which has been taken care, not been taken care of since my first kensho. This is a deeper meaning of the first of the Buddha's noble truths, suffering exists.Remember I was saying the first chapters of Lotus Blossom Run about suffering exists. This is actually starting to move already towards the cause of suffering, because she's, you know, what she's dealing, she's trying to, you know, confess and face the causes of suffering in this lifetime, suffering that's been created in this lifetime. No act of omission or commission, covert or overt, must be left out if I would go on.And I will go on, no matter what the cost, the pain, or the shame. Days have passed, and the searching of my heart continues, as it must always continue, even should I survive this. For this cleansing is not something that ceases. Always there will be things I have forgotten. As ever remembered, I will deal with them. This is my solemn oath.Rimmaster said...at the time and later that, you know, she sent out letters to people who she had in some way hurt, or where there's something not right between them, and she did what she could to set things right. She told I heard her talk aboutone or two of the responses, and not too surprisingly, sometimes people respond a little bit like, what this is all about, you know. But it doesn't matter. And for people who are going through this process, and we do hit it at, you know, bits and pieces of it or big lumps of it like this in our training, I always want to recommend to people, if people ask me about it,I always recommend to people, when you get the impulse to apologize or do something to set things straight, unless you're actually dying, sit on it a bit. Not with the idea of just kind of shoving it away under the carpet again, but just with the idea, is this actually good to do? Because sometimes it can appear good, something can appear good to do, but on reflection...With some meditation, you realize even though this might do good for me, it might actually not do good for someone else. And you have to take this a case at a time, an instance at a time. You would think, well, what harm can an apology do? But it's not that simple. Sometimes it might be that sometimes it might be that however sincerely we might apologize, we might unwittingly help someone else make a mistake in Buddhism. I had an instance of this that I've told about. I won't go into the details of it, but in one of these periods of Sangha, not on this scale, but you know, on the scale that I was capable of at the time, that happened with me in 1980, going through in the summer of 1980, I had something come up that I'd done that I was always been ashamed of, and rightly so, I have to say. I'm still ashamed of it, although the pain of it doesn't seem to be there anymore. But I wrote a letter and sent it off, and then I told her master about it, and she surprised me. She said, "Well, actually, I had something like that." And I realized that if I... I don't know if she ever actually sent hers off or not. That's the thing. But she pointed out to me that there might have been a way that I'd unwittingly, in doing it the way I did it, might have actually encouraged someone else to think badly of someone, and I'm someone, and unnecessarily so. As it turned out, that didn't seem to be the case. I got a response, and it didn't. It was a bit of one of those responses of, well, I'm not sure this is such a big deal after, you know, it doesn't seem like it. Anyway, but her point was really well taken. I've always remembered that since then. In other words, don't go on a formula here. In each instance, sit with it. Don't act impulsively. Work through the guilt. Work through the shame. First, is the most important thing initially is admit it to oneself. And admit it to the eternal. And sometimes when it's good to admit it to one other person. Sometimes you really need to confess to another person. And again, as I said yesterday, that for the person to whom you confess it, you know, if you're ever on the receiving end of such things, and a priest you will be at times, just remember, this is a sacred trust. This is a sacred trust. Do not betray that trust. Remember that there's a genuine need for confidentiality, a genuine need for it, not just a protocol, ethical protocol, but a genuine need for confidentiality. And we can talk at a later date at some point about the difference between an ethical protocol and a genuine need, if you like. It's a good point. I'm not going to dwell on it here. The mirror, as Rim Master says here, the mirror goes clear now. That she's through this stage of Sangha at this point. She's through this stage of Sangha. And now there's the kind of bits and pieces of mopping up that she needs to do. But she's worked through this stage of Sangha. And as she says, you know, Sangha, it never ends. It's an ongoing meditation, ongoing training, ongoing Sangha. You could say that, you know, the attitude of ongoing Sangha is so important. Remember, we're always human. We can always err. Remember, our past karma can always at least potentially act upon us. Remember not to be complacent. Remember the importance of a contrite and humble attitude of mind, even when one is acting with certainty. She's not saying don't ever act with certainty. You know, you have to act with certainty at times, with very great certainty. And you also have to know, well, I'm not God. There's aspects of this that I just may not be getting right. As I find out from the consequences of my actions what those aspects are, well, I'll admit it and learn from them. Rinpoche used to say there isn't guilt in Buddhism. You know, guilt isn't, you know, guilt is acknowledged as a spiritual problem in Buddhism, but it's not institutionalized in Buddhism that we should be guilty, that it's good for us to be guilty. So, as we're doing Sangha, it's important, don't beat up on ourselves. That's not the same as Sangha. Sangha is standing up straight in the presence of the Buddha's ancestors. And copping to what we've done. Admitting what we've done. Accepting our responsibility for ourselves. Accepting responsibility for ourselves. It's another thing that you don't see a word of in here, and it's so important. So important, I'm going to take a couple minutes talking about it here. It's so important. Sangha is not about what someone else has done to you. Sangha is about your actions. Sangha is not about what someone else has done to you. If you're holding a grudge against someone for what they've done to you, then Sangha is about your dropping the grudge. You're acknowledging you're holding a grudge and you're dropping it. Sangha is not about someone else has done to you. This is, you know, this is not psychology. Where you bring out the list of all the ways in which the world's not been fair to you, and grouse about them, and have some kind of catharsis, supposedly. That doesn't clean up karma. It doesn't matter what, for purposes of Sangha, it does not matter what others have done to us. What matters is our own attitudes and our own actions, our own use of our will, the choices we have made. And it's a wonderful thing that the cleansing waters of the Spirit that pour forth in a true Sangha flood out to the things that people have done to us, and they heal the wounds that we're carrying that others have in some way inflicted upon us. I'm not saying we can't be hurt by others. If you come punch me in the mouth, the bleeding of my mouth will prove I can be hurt by you. At one level anyway. But the only way I can be hurt spiritually, truly hurt spiritually, is if I hurt myself. The very heart of Sangha is self-acceptance and self-forgiveness. Very important we not be confused about this very essential point. If we are obsessed with the wrongdoing of others, we are not in the mind of Sangha. If we are fault-finding, we are not in the mind of Sangha. The next plate is so really important, and this is one of these things in Lotus Blossom. The next plate in Lotus Blossom was one of these things that when I first saw it, it was a revelation. It's just one of those things that was a revelation. It's called Heaven is the Most Dangerous of All Places. And that itself was a revelation to me, you know, many years ago when I first saw this. She says, absolute blackness. The great darkness of this seeming tunnel is impenetrable. Directly ahead of me is the great iron pillar penetrating the universe. From a great distance, a bright light flashes, hitting the pillar. This is the road to heaven. I have said no to the abyss. Cleanse my heart of its past wrongdoing. I can go into this bright, beautiful light. It flashes on the pillar and descends. Each flash is a life as it flies by into heaven. Let me go quickly into this beautiful heaven. Let me be there quickly. The flashes go faster and faster, faster and faster. I am drawn more and more into it. I want to enter it. I want to be there. I want to make an end. Here, there it is. There's the key. I want to make an end. Is that any different from the wanting to make an end in the oblivion of the abyss, the seeming oblivion? You can want to make an end in the cessation of feeling, which you're seeking in the oblivion of the abyss. And you can want to make an end to unpleasant, painful feeling by going into a permanent state of bliss. And that's what heaven is. Heaven is a very long term. There is no permanent state of bliss. A very long term state of bliss is a way to make an end to the pain. Here is the same choice manifesting as manifested in the abyss. Exactly the same choice in another form. What does she say? I want to make an end. I am standing up now. I am standing up now, upright in the presence of Buddhas and ancestors. During the past days, I have cleansed my spirit. I have searched every part of my heart, torn it to pieces, looked at and rooted out every evil act. During this time, I was given the chance to see my past every day of every year as if in a great mirror and to deal with what I had done. Just present life. Just present life. Keep that in mind. It's really important here. Tremendous merit in this, what she'd been doing. Tremendous merit. Here's the reward being offered for this amount of merit. This is a reward. Heaven. Some time in heaven. A considerable time in heaven, probably. My disciple has made many phone calls and written many letters. The slate is clean. This life, the slate is clean. Keep that in mind. He will take care of what it has not been possible to do at once. See how she's talking? I can die now in peace. I can die in peace now. I can die in bliss. This is being offered. I have forgiven all who need to be forgiven, as indeed I hope they forgive me. I cannot carry their karma for them. I must carry my own. Each man his karma makes. So now heaven is my reward. Here is a flashing light, and soon I will be one of those flashes going into the depth of the great pillar, which is the pillar of the universe, the pillar of the eternal. Again, the eternal is in heaven as in hell, as in the abyss, I should say. The eternal, the pillar of the eternal is there. Everywhere is the eternal. It doesn't matter the eternal what choice you make. It matters to you. But what is this I see? This is the same as hell. This is the same as the abyss. The light does not enter the pillar. It goes off into blackness. It flashes, goes out, and disappears. I might as well go into the abyss. These are opposites. The abyss and this flashing light. They are the same as all the other opposites. I want no part of them. This is a more dangerous place than the abyss. The flashes seem to radiate truth and beauty, but are nothing other than the most dangerous of all opposites. I do not wish to flash into darkness. I do not wish to die for this. I do not wish to die, for this indeed will be real death. Never come too close nor put yourself too far away. Never come too close to heaven lest you be fascinated by it. I halt my steps. The pillar remains silent. It doesn't matter to the pillar. It matters to you. The flashing grows slower. The pillar moves aside. My disciple was terrified by the smile on my face. Before me stretches a great, vast blackness. A great, vast blackness. See, she's cleaned up the karma of this lifetime. But there's still the impregnation from the past lives that haven't been dealt with. There's still most of the work. She's just begun the work. Most of the work is yet to come. Most of the work is yet to come. There's the merit of the work that's been done to this point. And the reward for that marriage, it's the devil's in these choices, you know. You just think of it. It's like one of these game shows. It's just like one of these game shows. A lot of these game shows go on the basis, do you want to take your reward now, or do you want to take the chance of a bigger reward later, but you might lose it all? And River Master is saying, actually, I don't want to take the reward, the short-term reward, because it turns out to be nothing. I want the eternal reward. For that, I got to get in and slog some more. I got to slog some more. I'm going to stop here, and tomorrow I'll do the next two, begin this other one, because they're so crucial, and because it's so important. You really have to keep in mind that she has just done a huge sangha, and that what you have to keep in mind now, what comes so soon after the huge sangha. It's very, very important. Really important. Coming after the big sangha. It's right there in the shishogi. It's so perfect. You know, this is a human being experiencing things at the deepest spiritual level that are this immense confirmation of the teachings of Soto Zen and of the Buddha. Same thing, really. This immense confirmation of just the order things are happening in itself is this wonderful confirmation of the teaching. And this is, of course, when you think of the immense certainty with which Reverend Master taught, and the immense ease with which this certainty, the sense of ease and relaxation with which this certainty was expressed, where did it come from? It came from a combination of the profundity of meditative experience and pure intuition. And it came from the root of that intuition is just the certainty of the eternal. And it came also from the fact that her experience had confirmed every one of the points that she was teaching. She wasn't going on speculation here. She's teaching from experience at the deepest level. And the combination of pure intuition and past experience that has confirmed is an enormous, wonderful combination.